Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
Summer is here. Oh wait, is summer on hold also? Nah, you can't stop summer, right? Summer is here, and if you live in Florida, summer is all year round, right? So even though we're excited about summer, we're not so excited about the humidity and the heat. The other day I was in the car and it was 100 and something degrees. It was unbearable, unbearable. But I personally actually like the heat, and I love summer. How many of you love summer? Raise your hand if you love summer. I love summer, especially because of the beaches, going on vacation with family. And even though this year COVID has put a lot of those things on hold, we cannot put on hold summer. We have to enjoy summer. Summer is important, you know. But the beautiful thing about summer for me is because it takes me back to the memories I had with my dad when I was younger. See, when we were younger, we used to go almost every Sunday or every weekend to El Farito. How many of you have ever been to El Farito, right? You know, before Andrew came, right, and destroyed, Hurricane Andrew came in the 90s and kind of like destroyed El Farito. El Farito used to be a park. I forgot the real name of the park, but I call it El Farito, and it's known as El Farito, right? But the park used to have a bunch of trees, a lot of trees that you would go under. You know, you'll have your camp or your barbecue or whatever it is with your family. And then they had a section where you would go fishing. Remember that? Where the big rocks, and you could go down and fish, and you could get your fish there. And probably whatever you caught, you cleaned it and cooked it in the barbecue. So it was a very nice place to go with your family. But I remember that when I was younger, you know, and we would be going on our way to El Farito, my dad had a Ford Bronco, a black Ford Bronco. Now, probably you might be young and you might say, what in the world is that? Google it. You know, it was one of the first SUV, quote unquote, SUV trucks that there was out there. And I remember that I used to love, and before we would get to El Farito on Rickenbacker Causeway, like the light right before passing the toll, they would sell to you oranges. Do you remember? They would sell to you the oranges in a bag, and they'll come peeled. It'll come peeled. They'll put it in a little machine, right? Go zzz, and it'll come nicely peeled. Do you remember that when you used to, anybody here used to, raise your hand. I see one person nodding their head, so I'm assuming I'm speaking to someone this morning, right? Probably I'm the only one that remembers that, but memories, and I just have great memories of our beach trips. Like that day that I freaked out, because as I was walking in the water, mind you, I didn't know how to swim when I was little, right? So very important, parents teach your kids to swim at an early age. As I was walking in the water, you know, like, have you ever noticed how people don't know how to swim, how they walk into the ocean or they walk into a pool? It's like they're so petrified, right? They walk into it like, you know, like penguins, you know, like they go slowly, like, oh my God, the water's going to eat me, right? So I would walk in, and I freaked out because a little stingray just popped up in front of me and started swimming away. And those are the memories that I have of summer. But so, you know, although summer is about fun, family, sun, and friends, right? And although COVID right now this year might have seemed summer a little different, I don't think that summer should be put away and forgotten, because every season is important to God. And every season is important for the way that we live out our lives. We learn a lot through seasons. Summer is not just about beaches, sun, and piña colada, although that may sound very good right now at this time, right? We're starting this series called Summer Vibes. Summer Vibes. And I believe that God has a powerful word for each and every one of us today, especially in this summer season. But I'm even a bigger believer that God speaks and he uses seasons in our lives. Now, how many of you we all know that we're all globally facing a tight season right now, a hard season. But aside from COVID and aside from what we're seeing around the world, how many of you have maybe facing another part of your season that may be hard right now to travel through? Raise your hand. There are things that we are all facing that might be a little tough or harsh upon our lives. But I believe that God uses seasons. Seasons are important to the earth, and they're even more important to what God is doing. And during the next few weeks, we're going to dive and discover through God's word and the Holy Spirit on how we might need to change our perspective. Tell your neighbor, perspective. Tell your neighbor, tell them, we might need to change our perspective so that we could end on top at the end of 2020. I don't believe that God gave us 2020 to end down here, down and defeated. God doesn't do that. I believe that God created 2020 so that we could end on top. But sometimes we might need to change a little bit our perspective. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting ready for God's best for my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm getting ready for God's best for my life. If you're watching online, I want to tell you, get ready for God's best for your life. If you have your Bibles or you're here with us, it'll come out on the screen. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 13. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. Luke, chapter 13, verse 10. And it says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was speaking in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, we're talking about seasons, right? And seasons don't last for more than a couple of months. But how some of you today, you might be facing a season in your life that may seem that it's gone into not only months, but years. And this lady, the Bible says Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and there was a woman that was crippled, that had been crippled, it says here, by a spirit for 18 years. I love the Bible because what's coming up next shows me that God doesn't leave us stuck in a season. And even though this season that we are facing today might seem like it's unending, it's just a season. It's not eternal. Listen to this. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. So I'm just going to try to mimic what this lady may have looked like, right? And probably I can't do it. But imagine that you are crippled like this. I hope I'm not showing my underwear. You're crippled like this, right? And all you do, you walk like this for 18 years. Now, I've seen people like this. I've seen kids in Dominican Republic when we go do missions that they're not crippled like this, but they're crippled all around and they can't even move their arms and legs and cannot even get out of bed. They're bedridden. So I could only imagine a woman for 18 years crippled like this, or even worse than my demonstration. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman," listen to this. Those of you that are needing a breakthrough today, this is your word. "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And it says this, then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up, and I love the next part, and praised God. He doesn't say that she got up and said, "Oh my God, I could get up. Who are you? Who touched me? Who said this to me?" She got up and praised God, indignant because Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Now imagine, you're crippled for 18 years. And today you receive your breakthrough and somebody from the church rises up and says, "How dare you? You could come Monday through Saturday or Monday through whatever day and get your miracle. Not today." Think about that for a minute, what's happening in this story. There are people that are mad that a miracle just happened. There are people mad that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached around the world. There are people mad that there is a Savior that death could not hold him down on the grave. Think about that for a minute, church. The Lord answered because I love Jesus. Let me tell you something. There's many times that Jesus will stay silent, church. But there are times when Jesus will speak. And he does not speak to hurt, he speaks to heal. Let me repeat that one more time. When Jesus speaks, he doesn't speak to hurt, he speaks to heal. Meaning there's already hurt, there's already pain that people might not see. So when Jesus speaks, he speaks to heal, and he says, the Lord answered them, "You hypocrites." Well, Pastor Eric, that doesn't sound like it's a healing word. But listen to this. You hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath, you untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what he bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. I want you to think about that verse for a couple of minutes as we continue today's message. We live in a world that is full of content. We live in a world that information is constantly coming our way. A couple months ago, I think it was this year or last year, we actually did a series called Alexa. And if you were not here or if you haven't watched it, I encourage you to go on our website and listen to that message. But back when I was a little kid, if I wanted to find out something that was happening in the news, I needed to wait to the afternoon or evening news. Remember that? In our house, we had a TV that was from here to here, and probably the width of this piece of stage. It wasn't a thin piece of TV that you could throw on your wall. It was a big box, and mind you, it weighed a lot. You remember tube TVs? Huge. And one of my favorite things is that if the image wasn't coming out good, what would you do? You'll slap it. So that the image will clear up. If you wanted to find out about the news, you had to wait for the evening news. If you had a school project or homework that required some type of research, I had to go to something called the library. Now, do libraries still exist today? I think they do, but a lot of people don't even know what they are. The library. And if you really needed to take more time to do your research, you had to check out the book or the encyclopedia. Very short story. When I was younger, and this is probably for those Hispanics in the house, or it doesn't necessarily have to be Hispanics, but my dad bought us the World Book Encyclopedia Collection. Now, that was like the Holy Grail, right, for us Cubans. That was the Holy Grail. You had to make sure that when you touched it, you wore white gloves. That when you worked on it, you made sure nothing spilled on it. It was the Holy Grail. Now, many of you are laughing because you probably could attest to it, right? Now, I remember that when the Holy Grail of encyclopedia was outdated due to the internet, we threw away the encyclopedias. When my dad found out that we threw away the Holy Grail because they were outdated, he had a fit. Encyclopedias. Today, it's just a click or even a voice command away. I want to share with you some quick statistics, or actually not statistics, but actual numbers and facts of what's going on in our world today. Listen to this. Americans consume 100,000 words of information each day. You and I consume 100,000 words of information each day. Today at church, just me preaching alone, you would have already consumed 100,000 words of information. But listen to this. The internet, which today is our main source of data, contains 1,200 petabytes. Now, for the geeks in the house, that's 1.2 million terabytes. 1.2 million terabytes of data. Netflix, now let me pause there for a minute on Netflix. I remember when Netflix came out, you would order the DVD in the mail. You remember that? You would order the DVD in the mail. You would wait for the movie to come. You'll put it on your DVD, watch it, and you had a certain period of time to mail it back. Today, you have thousands of titles at your fingertips, right? That's why fingertips. Actually, you have 50,000 movie titles at your fingertips. And that's not even counting the other streaming services. YouTube. The world's primary video repository. This is going to blow you away, these numbers. Listen to this. 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute. 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute. 1.3 billion people use YouTube. 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube daily. 5 billion videos. And actually, some people have trained themselves and practically learned almost everything that they do based on YouTube videos. You want to learn how to cook a certain meal? You go on YouTube. You want to learn how to change your bathroom toilet seat? You go on YouTube. You want to learn what to take for constipation? You go on YouTube. Everything is on YouTube. Content is everywhere. Content is everywhere. And when COVID started, I remember that I was so feeling so bombarded with these thoughts. You have to come up with content. You have to provide content. Provide content to the church so that they know what's going on. Provide content so that you could so that what the Word of God could promote hope to people's heart. Content, content, content. And I felt like content, it was all about content and content and content. And I found myself worrying more about content than context. I found myself worrying so much about content that I ignored the context. Before I go into this, let's understand the difference between content and context. Content is the material, matter, medium, whatever you want to call it, contained within the work that is available for the audience. The video that you're watching right now on your screen or later on you'll watch, that is content. Context, on the other hand, is the position of the content, meaning the storyline or the purpose that provides, I love this word, value to the audience. The Word of God is the context in this content. So what's happening is that many people, even though we have these forms, and even though we are creating these content, we have lost its context. Now, content isn't king without context. And more I found myself battling with this, I kept on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit nudging my heart and telling me that the Church of Christ was being wrapped up around content and the importance for it, but they were little by little losing the focus and importance of the context. Now, church, listen to me. I'm preaching a little slow today because I want you to get this, because this is a powerful word that God gave me that I want to share with everyone. Listen to me. Values, purpose, vision, and mission, little by little, are being replaced with our opinions, latest stories, trends, versus God's truth. We're so focused on the content that we've allowed the context to be watered down. Now, you've heard that there are people that preach the gospel watered down. Here at Ignite Church, we don't preach a watered down gospel. We preach the Bible. The Bible. Let me repeat it one more time. The Bible. But what are you watching online? What are you seeking through your phone? What are you listening through your radio? What context are you feeding your spirit and your soul today? Content that doesn't include godly context is just garbage, in my opinion. I'm sorry. Sorry if you get offended. But if your context or content, better yet said, doesn't point me to Jesus or God's kingdom, then I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Why? Because if it doesn't point me to Jesus or God's word and God's kingdom, where does it point me to? This world and its kingdom. And we all know that this world and its kingdom is not a stable kingdom. We know that this world and its kingdom is not a valuable world and kingdom. But Jesus said this: seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and everything else, will be added onto you. Seek first. He said first. He didn't say second. He didn't say third. He said first. Jesus is in the middle of the synagogue, a place of worship and teaching, and he was teaching when suddenly he sees this woman that is crippled for 18 years. Something was wrong. Like in the world today, something is wrong. Jesus is in the middle of a place called a place of worship. Listen, church. Listen. This is a word more for the church today. Listen to this. Jesus is in the synagogue, a place of worship and teaching, and he sees that there's something wrong. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's no one perfect in this church, meaning these four walls. But there's also no one perfect in the body of Christ, the capital C, church. But Jesus sees that there's something wrong. The place of worship, the place of teaching, that is a place where people come to meet Jesus and people come to receive of God and receive a miracle, has now become a place of content versus a place of context. Has become a place of my opinion, of what I think is right versus of what God says is right. Do you follow? A woman was there crippled for 18 years, bent over, couldn't straighten up at all. I imagine Jesus as he was teaching, and he sees this woman, he just drops everything. When was the last time you dropped everything to fulfill God's kingdom work? When was the moment that you saw the need that God called you to fulfill and you dropped everything to go fulfill that need that God called you to fulfill? Jesus dropped everything. He says, woman, you over there, you that is watching online, you that is going to listen to this podcast, woman, man, child, grown up, I see your need, and I declare you are free. And the moment that he said that, it went against the whole entire content that people were trying to portray. It went against the whole entire thing that people were trying to do. They said, well, the synagogue is the place that you will come for 6 days of the week to receive your miracle. But on the Sabbath, how dare you even try? How dare you even speak about that? How dare you even put that on your Instagram feed? How dare you put that on your Facebook post? How dare you even speak up about that? Why? Because it was truth. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, all you care about is content, 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 but you've forgotten the truth about this place. This is a place of worship. This is a place of healing. This is a place where people come to meet God. And if you have replaced that with your opinions, then get what? Get out of it, because this is my Father's house. Jesus understood that although you might come to church and listen to the teachings, if you don't put them to practice, you're just a content hoarder. How is it that you can save something of your livelihood? And for you, and do these things, but then complain when there's a miracle happening out of what you call out of order? Jesus said, you hypocrite. I hear God calling me a million times, you hypocrite. I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word you hypocrite in the Bible, I don't put someone else there. I put myself there. Because how many times hasn't God spoken to me? And I said, no, today's not the day. There's something else I got to do. There's so much more content that I need to focus on, that I don't got time to focus on really the context of the content. We're living in times of what the Bible calls itchy ears. Now, how many of you, let me not ask this question, but I love cleaning my ears. I love it. I love it. I'm not going to ask you if you do, because that might just be weird. But I love cleaning my ears, right? Every time I shower, I go and I get my little Q-tips, and my wife looks at me because she's like, you weird. You make faces when you clean your ears. Yeah, it does. It feels good to clean in my ears. And I love the feeling after cleaning your ears, because after you clean your ears, don't you hear better? At least I do. I feel like I hear better after I get all that wax out of my ears, right? But has it ever happened to you that you're driving or you're even asleep and your ear starts to itch, right? And you're like, man, my ear itches. And you start scratching it. And when you put out your finger, you see it's all dirty. Nasty, huh? Nasty. There are people actually on YouTube and on Facebook and all these places that they record them taking out people's nasty stuff out of the ears. I can't watch that. But we live in a time of itchy ears. What does that mean? We're living in times where people worry more about content versus context. If you don't believe me, Paul actually declared this thousands of years ago when he wrote to young Timothy, young minister, and he tells him in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, it says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead," listen to this, "to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you," he's talking to Timothy, "but you, ignite church. Keep your head in all situations." It doesn't say get your head out of the situation, okay? It says keep your head in all situations, but it says this: "Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Your mind is a powerful thing, and what you feed it will determine where your life may go." If you don't believe me, there's a verse about that in Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For he, as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So let me ask you a question. What content are you feeding your spirit? Godly content? Or worldly content? Worldly views? Godly views? Or your neighbor's opinion? What are you feeding your spirit today? Paul warned Timothy and he said, "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." The Word of God shows us that our thinking is connected to our way of living. In a world full of content, I mean, if you're exposed to 5,000 ads a day, when I read that number, 5,000 ads a day, I'm like, man, that's kind of hard to be exposed to, 5,000 ads. But then the more I thought about it, I thought about when I am on Instagram, on Facebook, I'm watching the news, on the internet, emails, phone calls, newspapers, magazines, and the list could go on and on and on. When I'm driving down the highway and the ads are on the billboard. 5,000 ads a day. Over 100,000 words of information on a daily. What is our base? What is our base? Where do we draw the line, church? Where do we draw the line and say, this is from God, and this is not from God? So since this is not from God, I'm going to take it and drop it. But what is of God, I'm going to focus and seek it. Where do we draw the line? We're living in critical moments in history. Not because of the pandemic. Let me say that one more time. Sorry about my microphone. Not because of the pandemic or the unrest going on. But I believe that we're living in important times according to God's calendar. The Bible speaks of times and seasons, and it's my responsibility to remind you and remind myself and remind you that are watching that we need to focus on the context more than on the content. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by what you hear or who says it, if they have a platform or they don't. If they have money or they don't, if they're a pastor or not, do not be fooled. Always, and I'll capitalize this word always in my notes, always, whatever you hear, see, or take it to the Word of God. Take it to the Word of God. If it don't match with the Word of God, drop it. Drop it and go. Drop it and go. You know why we fall into sin? Because we don't drop the temptation that comes to our lives. You know why we fall constantly in a cycle of sin? Because we say, well, this time, I'll do better. Versus saying, you coming against me again? No, I'm dropping you and going. I am not going to entertain you. I'm not going to entertain the conversation. I'm not going to entertain the thought. I'm not going to entertain it. Because at the end of the day, I need to represent myself before God. The one who God is going to judge, he's going to judge everybody. But he's not going to judge me for someone else. He's going to judge me for who I am. So if that does not bless me, if that does not feed my spirit, if that does not lead me, then I'm going to drop it and go. Context versus content. State of mind. Your state of mind. Now more than ever, we as a church need to make sure that we're not allowing ourselves to be ignorant of the context and focus only on more and more content. Only because it sounds right, seems right, and is spoken by the right person doesn't mean that it is right. Take it always to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Your state of mind can either bless you or it could enslave you. It could either bless you. You can have a good state of mind. You have a positive state of mind. It's going to bless you. But if you allow one of those words, if you allow one of those conversations, if you allow any of those point of views that are not worldly, I mean not godly, and they are worldly, come into your life, what's going to happen is going to enslave you. I've seen it. I've been through it. It's happening today in this world. You don't believe me? Turn on the TV. You'll be depressed in less than a second. I'm not saying to ignore the things that are happening in the world, because Paul told Timothy, do not get out of the situation. Yeah, you're in the situation. But do not turn to the fables. Do not turn to the myths. Stay strong in the Word. Stay strong in the Word. I'm about to end this message, but I just want to just share one more thing. Does it happen to you that when you change a couple of days of living from a different place or go to a different place, let's say you go to a vacation or a getaway, does it happen to you? You're like, your perspective changes, right? Like you go and you rent at the beach a little while, right? And you go on vacation with your family and you're just there, you're chilling. You know, you got your food, your Pringles, I don't know, whatever is your favorite food for the beach, right? And you're there, you're sitting in your beach chairs, and you're just getting sun, and you're just resting. Out of nowhere, your thoughts start changing. Your view starts changing. And when you, does it happen to you, or am I the only weirdo, that when you get back to home, you say, oh, I'm back to reality. Like, oh, now I got to pay bills, now I got to do this. Does it happen to you, or just me? The place where you're at could actually change the way that you see things. The more I thought about this, the more thoughts on how I've been so consumed for the past 4 months seeking content with lack of context bombarded my mind. I have been so much seeking information versus seeking truth. I've been so bombarded with seeking information versus seeking truth. And I've been seeking what others are saying and doing versus what Jesus has already done and called me to focus on. So I came to tell you something. We all need to change our perspective. We need a change of scenery. We need to refocus and have the correct perspective. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. And I want to end with this. These are some verses I want to share with you. I'm going to throw a couple verses out to you right now in a couple seconds. But listen to this. When you change your perspective, everything changes. But in order for you to change your perspective, you need to evaluate what are you feeding yourself. The context is more important than the content. There's this guy, still today, even though we're in a pandemic. When I was younger, he would stand on 49th Street. Those of you who are from Hialeah, you know where 49th Street or 103rd. And he would stand right under the bridge or right under the Palmetto Expressway, right, that intersection. And he will always hold a sign that say, repent, Jesus loves you. Or he'll change the verse. The verse will say something else, you know. You know, there's still time for heaven or something. And he would stand there, and still today, Sundays, if you drive by there, you might see him with a sign. Now you may say, man, that is poor content. He's pushing people away from Jesus. He's affecting the people that are Christian. He's making them look like weirdos or outcasts. And when I was younger, I used to say that. I used to say, man, why does he do that? Why does he stand in the middle of the street with a sign? He could be more productive if he did this and that. Because we're easy to criticize and we're easy to give our opinions, but we're slow to actually act. And here's this man. No one told him to stand on the side of a street with a sign that said, repent, for Jesus is coming. There is still hope for your life. Jesus loves you just as you are. For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we as Christians criticize other Christians like the day that Jesus was in the synagogue. Jesus was the Son of God made in the flesh of human walking on earth. And he's teaching truth from the synagogue, a place of worship. And when he does a miracle, who are the first ones to criticize him? The people that are in the synagogue every single day. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. 2 Corinthians 4:18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Why am I sharing these verses? Change of perspective, your state of mind, the way you see things, the way you respond to things. Comes from the way that you think. For so a man thinks in his heart, so a man is. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, but we do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. I love this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, this is a verse that many people don't preach anymore from church. We preach what people want to hear. Itchy ears, itchy ears, itchy ears. Get your Q-tip and clean your ears. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:13-14, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Why am I sharing these verses to you, church? Because it speaks on how we should think. It speaks on what the mindset we should have. Our state of mind needs to be the mind of Christ. When we change our mind, this will happen. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, famous verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Praise Jesus for that. Come on now, could I get praise for that? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'll end with this last verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. As we come to a closing, I want you to stand, rise to your feet. Where, if you're here in person, if you're at home and you want to join us, you could do so as well. Rise to your feet. I want to challenge each and every one of us, I include myself, challenge to change our perspective by first changing the context. If all you're feeding yourself is views, opinions, information, and not the word of God, let's start changing that to feed ourselves what God says. Let's hear God's thoughts, not men's thoughts. I'm not saying that you can't hear people's opinions. I'm not that type of preacher that says, oh, don't listen to the news. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what are you feeding yourself? If you don't feed yourself the word of God, where is your base? Because guess what? Your friend's opinion will fail. But God's word will stand forever. Challenge all of us to stop seeking so much content and to start focusing on what stands, his word. For content isn't king without context. But one more thing. I want to challenge all of us to start thinking differently. May our minds become more like the mind of Christ. I want to pray. I don't know about you. Probably you feel identified with this word. I know I have. Ever since we went into this pandemic, I've been just so focused on content, 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 post, 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 video, video, video. You know, what does this person say? What does that person say? What does my favorite pastor say? What does this pastor that has so many followers say? And I've forgotten about truth. So focused on content that I've ignored context. And the Holy Spirit told me it's time that the church focuses on context. Focus on what I've said, what I'm going to do, versus what other people are saying and what they're doing. So I want you to close your eyes right there where you're at, wherever you're watching. If you identified with that word, just lift up your hand wherever you are watching or listening this. In Jesus' name, we come before your presence, God, right now. And we pray first and foremost, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for the times that we have been so occupied by seeking content that we've ignored the context. Forgive us, God, for the times that we have been so focused and desiring what other people have to say, Lord, what other people our opinions are, God, versus what you have said in your word and what will stand forever, which is your word. So, Lord, I pray that today you would help us, Lord, challenge ourselves and challenge one another to start changing the way we think by changing first what we feed ourselves. To start seeking you and your presence and your word more than anything else, God. I pray, Lord, that as we do that, we would do like Romans says, we would not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I pray this in Jesus' name, God. That, Lord, you would help us be, Father God, instruments of grace, impacting the world not through our opinion, but through your word, which is active and living. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to pray one more thing before we go into worship. If you're here or you're online watching and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I always say that Jesus loves you just as you are because he accepted me. So if he accepted me, he surely could accept you. He doesn't wait for you to change. He loves you just as you are. Why are you running from him? He's not here to hurt you, to condemn you. He's here to love you, to heal you, to protect you. All he's asking is for you to recognize him today in your life. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. We don't know if we'll have a tomorrow. We don't know if Jesus will come for his church tomorrow. We don't know if while we leave this place, we might not see tomorrow. Hopefully we do. That is our faith, right? We will see tomorrow. But why wait for tomorrow when today is surely assured? I encourage you, if that's you today that wants to give your life to Jesus, It's as simple as a prayer away. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus died and rose again, you are saved. That's as simple as that. You say, Pastor Eric, it's hard for me to believe. Well, let's do something. Let's pray that God will give us the faith that we need. Let's start off by there. And then let's say, Jesus, as I give my life to you, help me trust you. If that's you, would you say this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, today I need you. I need you to help me believe. I need you to help me trust you. Lord, as I give my life to you in this day, I ask you to help me, for I don't know how to do it by myself. Help me believe and trust in you. I open my heart to you, and I ask you to come into my life. Come into my heart. I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And help me from this day forth trust you and see you move in my life the way that only you can. Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I ask you to please forgive me and wash me with your blood. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember the best is yet to come.